Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology-agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology-agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. Regardless of where you are in your digital transformation, whether you're just starting out or in the midst of your journey, this show covers everything you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for joining us on today's show. Today on the show, we'll be talking about functional architecture and how it relates to ERP systems. Here to offer his expertise on the matter is Wayne Holtham, the Vice President of Third Stage Consulting's Asia Pacific region. Hey, Wayne, well, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for letting me be on.
Absolutely. It's so great to have you on here today. And I want to start things off with about you perhaps telling us a little bit about Third Stage Consulting and your role there.
Okay, I'm the Vice President for Third Stage Consulting in APAC, in the Asia-Pac region. And my background is I've been delivering ERP and digital transformation programs probably for the last 30 years as such. So it's I've been around a while, and seeing how things have changed is always good to learn the new things and help share that with other people.
Absolutely. Adaptability is crucial. So for, like, now that we can kind of dive in further into today's topic, I just want to start off with the most obvious question. So what is functional architecture?
That's a great question, Sarah. It's functional architecture is an architecture model that identifies the enterprise functions and interactions of a software system. So it's how an organization operates the system, but with the processes that it actually has. And, you know, it's difficult in today's world where we expect so much out of an ERP system, and we want users to be able to use every part of that system. And so that's where functional architecture comes in.
Awesome. And how would you say that this approach relates to ERP systems?
Well, ERP systems of the in the old days were probably fairly modular as such, in the sense they had finance, they had resources, which is people, and they had logistics. And so that was the main part of it. And nowadays we're saying, well, we want to be able to have customer interface, or we want to be able to have asset interface, or we want to have people from the field capturing information and updating our system. And so it's much more complex than it used to be. And so that's where I suppose we look at function now, because we've got a lot more people using the system than we had before, where we had just the back office people using the system and doing our finances or working out when we're getting paid and all those sorts of things. Whereas now it's a lot more complex. And so that brings a whole lot more need to have it work seamlessly.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And what advantages does functional architecture offer to organizations considering their next digital transformation project? What disadvantages exist, would you say?
Well, the disadvantage is many organizations that have traditional ERP, they've sort of gotten to a point where they've got lots of disparate systems and applications that sit there. So to actually really leverage and get good value out of functional architecture, you actually need to make some change happen. And so you need to be able to get consistency of process. And so probably the biggest challenge for most organizations is comprehending, how do we get consistency across our business when we have people doing most of the processes and, you know, and interacting with our system. So that's probably the hardest thing for most people to get there, most organizations to grapple with, that change and how do we get that capability uplift so people go, that's a great idea, I want to do it that way, as against the way that I've built to do it all over these many, many years, and I like that way, I don't want to change. And so that's the challenge that many organizations face.
And so how should organizations go about weighing their options for this kind of system organization?
Well, it's interesting. If you want to leverage what new technology offers, then you really probably don't have much of a choice, because if you try and adapt the old and put the new system in and just do what they call a lift and shift, the problem you have is that you have all of these different systems that are silo based that people are operating, whereas the systems, the technology is built around this enterprise, this functional workflow, and so you end up where it becomes even less efficient for you. So if you try and put new technology in over old practices, you become less efficient, and that's a real challenge for organizations. So on one side we've got the change paradigm, on the other side we've actually got, you know, the fact that if we put something in new, we're actually going to put ourselves back in functional and costs and all those sort of things. And so it's one of those things that organizations, if they look at the advantages that it can bring, and really probably approach the change piece in a way that people get involved and understand what it means, then it's a good value. It's a functional architecture, is it makes people's lives simpler, much, much simpler.
Yeah, I could definitely imagine. And like, these concepts are certainly going to give our listeners a lot to think about too. So while they're kind of mulling on what we've just gone over, we're going to take a short break. But when we do come back, Wayne and I are going to continue to discuss the functional architecture and go into a few examples of where it may be particularly beneficial for organizations to implement. So stick around and you won't want to miss what's coming next. We'll be right back.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dokovic, speaking with Wayne Holtham of Third Stage Consulting. And before the break, we were talking about the fundamentals of functional architecture and how it fits into the wide world of ERP technology. So now that we've covered the basics, let's jump back in with some examples of this style of systems design in action. So in terms of overall timeline, when is the best time to think about systems design? So if an organization already has a robust system in place, is it too late to switch to a functional approach?
It's interesting. If they've got robust systems in place that actually are cross-functional, then they're probably halfway there. And so it's a good thing to be able to say, well, how can I actually improve that? How can I leverage that? For organizations that don't have robust systems or have very silo-based systems, you know, they need to be starting to look at it and say, well, early on, if I'm going to change my operating model, I should be also looking at how that system or how that solution will work with what my operating model is going to be. And so very, very early on, functional architecture, it should be considered, because, you know, it's just to give you a bit of an example, it's one of those things where if I have a business where in the past I had all of my own employees, and so it's very easy for them to interact with my system. But now I've made a shift and I'm actually going to have external providers do a portion of my work. So I need that external provider to actually interact with my system. But I may have policies or I might have processes that don't allow external providers to access my system. So it's very hard for me to actually get that information I need to actually do what I need to do. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you're looking to make that change, it's about making that change early on so that you actually get the benefit of getting the business to understand how they can actually adopt the change and what that actually means to the greater organization. So you get good solid workflows, you get good consistent process. And that's what's required to make it effective.
I was going to ask you next too if there were any examples when a functional approach really shines. Did you want to add any other kind of examples to that, or that pretty much covers that?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's when we talk about having customer interaction sort of thing. So to be able to get functional, often we want to be able to have customer portals and we want them to be a lot more self-service. And so we want to be able to capture the information from the customer so that we don't have to keep going back to the customer. So a lot of those sort of things are about how we access information we want to capture. What are we going to do with that information? So from a functional aspect, it's about saying, well, I need to identify what they're looking for and how I can keep them updated with information, but also act on the information they've provided me. So there's a number of areas that as we sort of expand this sphere of ERP, whether it be customer or whether it be from the other end of service provider, that it helps to have a functional view on how we're going to operate the system.
And how does functional architecture bleed over into the organization management side of things? So how does it affect the company's relationship with its people, processes, and products?
Well, that's a really great question, that one, because it has a huge impact on that in the sense that what it does do is challenge that those little silo areas of a business that might have, you have a functional area that's doing finance. Well, you don't really need that if you've actually got, architecture that allows you to capture information which actually feeds the requirements of what finance is looking for. So it sort of changes the insular nature that many organizations build over time, where they satisfy their own need because the greater part of the business can't do it. So when we have architecture, functional architecture, we have it that they are feeding the information as required, but we don't need those specialist type roles. And so that does change our organizational structure. Not to say that we need to get rid of people, but we purpose them in a way that they can actually add value. So it's about looking, how can we improve what we're doing? How do we actually make this process better? And so you end up where you get more efficiency as against just more little roadblocks or more little areas where people are just trying to cover off the bottlenecks. So it really does change the organization.
And I think that's a really perfect note to wrap everything up for this episode. So I wanted to really thank you again, Wayne, for guiding us through this abstract yet really important topic. I don't think we've really discussed it on the show yet. So I think we've given our audience a lot to consider at this time when it comes to system design. But before we sign off, are there any other additional resources out there that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, we've got a blog which we're about to publish, which will probably be attached to the clip when it gets published. Reach out to myself or the team at Third Stage, and we can probably provide a lot more oversight and understanding as it applies to your organisation. And that's probably the key thing. Every organisation is different, so it's not a cookie cutter approach that we apply. So.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Wayne. I appreciate you being on the show today. So thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. It's been great to be here.
And I wanted to thank all of you for listening today on the Digital Stratosphere podcast. Again, I'm Sarah Dokovich, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.